Today we continue our study of Mishnayos Maseches Gittin with lesson number 14, in which we will be studying the fourth perek, the sixth and seventh Mishnah, Perek Dalad, Mishneh Vov, and Mishneh Zayin. Mishneh Vov continues with some halachos about an Eved Kanani. A person, a Jewish person, purchases a Gentile slave. That slave goes through a procedure of milo tevila, of circumcision and immersion in a mikveh. And then he has a status of a Jew to a certain extent. He's obligated in the same mitzvos as a woman is obligated in. And if he is freed, he is a full-fledged Jewish convert, a Ger Tzedek. So the Mishnah says, Hamocher avdo legoy. If a Jewish person sells his eved Kanaani to a goy, to a Gentile, ol chutzla oretz, or if he sells him to a fellow Jew, but he sells him from Eretz Yisrael to chutzla oretz, he lives with this slave in Eretz Yisrael, and he sells the eved to a fellow Jew living in the south of France, yotza ben chorin, the eved is ipso facto freed. Now, the details here are as follows. If a person, Jewish person, sells an Eved Knani to a goy, we impose a knas upon him. We force the master who sold him to the goy to redeem him. In fact, to redeem him even if he has to pay 10 times the value of the Eved. Nevertheless, a fine is imposed upon him, a punishment, a knas, because by selling him to the goy, he is making it virtually impossible for the Eved to keep mitzvos. When the Eved was working for the Jew, he was obligated in mitzvos. He was obligated to light Chanukah lecht. If he had a house of his own, he was obligated to eat matzah. He was obligated to have a mezuzah, etc. Same as a woman. Now, he's under the dominion of a goy, and he won't be able to do all these things. So therefore, the Rabbo Rishon is fined, and he must redeem this Eved from the goy. Once he does it, the Eved goes automatically into freedom. He's free. The Gemara explains that in addition, the master, former master, the Jewish master, must write a shtar shichrur, a document divorcing him, so to speak, freeing him. Also, as this Mishnah just said, if a Jewish person owns an Eved Kanani and sells him to a fellow Jew living in Chutz La'aretz, so he's forcing this slave to move from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Again, a knas is imposed, and he becomes freed. The Gemara explains that the Jew who purchased him must issue a shtar shichrur, and we force him to write such a shtar shichrur, because the person who must write the shtar shichrur, who must therefore lose to the bargain, is the lokeach, the one who bought him, rather than the one who sold him. And the Gemara mentions in regard to this an interesting principle, and that is lav achbera gonav, elo chura gonav. It's not the mouse who steals the cheese, it is the hole in the wall that where the mouse hides that steals the cheese. In other words, it's not the direct offender who is guilty, but rather the one who supports and protects the defender. In this case, the offender. In this case, the one who bought this Eved is the guilty one rather than the one who sold it. If there was no one to buy it, the seller would not have been able to sell the Eved. So the Lokeach, the buyer, the Rabbo Sheni, the second master, must free this slave. The Mishnah continues with some other takonos, some other laws which were instituted for the well-being of society. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. The Mishnah says, Ein po dines ha-shavuyim yoser al kedei demehim. One does not redeem captives for more than they are worth. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Unfortunately, throughout Jewish history, Jews were often kidnapped or captured and held for ransom. It's a mitzvah to redeem them. However, to redeem them for some exorbitant amount of money, much more than they're actually worth, so to speak, on the market, is forbidden. And the reason being, because we're concerned that if the goyim would see that there's so much money to be made by capturing Jews and asking them for ransom, asking other Jews to ransom them, then, to free them, then the Goyim would steal all the more Jews and capture all the more Jews. And to prevent that, we don't allow anyone to redeem a Shavuy, a captive Jew, for more than Kedei Demehen. V'ein mavrichen es ha-shavuyin. Furthermore, we don't go into all these exciting, adventurous missions impossible to free a slave. We don't launch rescue missions dramatically in order to get them to be freed from their captivity. Again, mipnei tikkun ha'olam, because we're concerned, according to the Tanakhama, that if the captors see that efforts were made to free one of the successful efforts were made to free one of their captives, they will then be much more cruel to future captives, and they will make sure that future captives are held in deep dark dungeons where no escape is possible. So therefore, we do not engage in such dramatic rescue efforts. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, mipnei takonas hashivuyim. The takona was not to benefit future captives, captives that the captor Goyim may at some point in the future capture, but rather it's for the benefit of the co-captives. So, if, for example, if the Goyim are holding 10 captives, Jewish captives imprisoned, and we do some special rescue efforts to free one or several of them, leaving some others behind, then they were concerned that the Goyim will really take it out on the remaining captives in their possessions and really deal with them through torture or whatever. So for that reason, we do not engage in such dramatic rescue efforts. However, suppose the Goyim at this point are only holding one Jew captive, then we can attempt to rescue him, because if we're successful, the Goy is left with no captives in hand. There's no consequences at that time. As far as future captives that he may one day capture and treat miserably, that we're not concerned about, according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. The Mishnah continues, V'ein lokhin seforim tefillin u'mezuzos min ha-goyim. Often, the goyim will steal Sifrei Torah, other holy books, tefillin or mezuzos, and then ask for an exorbitant amount of money in order for the Jewish community to get back these seforim tefillin u'mezuzos. So therefore, there's a takonav and they tikon ha'olam not to pay these exorbitant amounts of money to redeem svarim, tefillin, and mezuzos that are being held by the goyim, because we're concerned that if we do that, the goyim will go into the business of stealing svarim and asking for exorbitant prices in order to return the svarim to the Jewish community. Well, that's Mishneh Vov. Mishneh Zayin brings us back, in a sense, to our major topic, which is Gittin, the Gittei Noshim, divorce documents. The Mishnah says, Hamotzias ishto mishum shem ro. If a person is divorcing his wife because of a shem ro, meaning there's rumors that she was mezana, that she committed adultery. So if that's the case, and that was the grounds for which the husband divorced the wife, lo yachzir, he can never take her back. She's divorced. In the normal circumstances, all things being equal, the husband not being a Kohen, the woman not having married someone else in the interim, a person can divorce his wife today and take her back next week or next year or whenever. However, if the explicit reason given for the get is that shem ra, she's suspect of adultery, lo yachzir, it is forbidden for him ever to remarry her. The Gemara explains that the reason is mishum kilkula. We're afraid of a rather problematic situation that might arise because we're concerned that husband number one divorces her because he suspects her of adultery. So she goes and gets married to husband number two. Fine, she has a divorce. She can marry whoever she wants. She marries husband number two. Then husband number one discovers that those rumors about her adultery are totally false. Now he's going to say, "Oi, if I knew that it was a false rumor, even if they would have given me $100,000, I would never have divorced her." And now, according to the first husband at least, she was never divorced, and the children she may have from the second husband are mamzerim, are illegitimate. So therefore the Chachamim made a takona, that if the reason husband number one divorced her is because of shem ra, he can never take her back. So that even if it then turns out that the shem ra was sheker, that it was false, she was falsely suspect of adultery, he cannot take her back. And we tell him, at the time of the get, if you're divorcing her, what's your reason? It's because of shem ra. Be aware, you can never take her back. This is it. In that way, we will avoid the kilkul. We will avoid the problem that the husband, first husband, will say the get is not valid, and therefore this will cast aspersions upon the second marriage. We avoid that by telling him, "Mister, you're giving her a get because you suspect her of adultery. That's it. She'll accept the get, and you can never, ever go back or revoke or reconsider having given her the get." Secondly, the Mishnah says, "Mishum neder." If a person, husband, divorces his wife because of vows that she had made. She makes vows, "I'm not going to eat strawberries, I'm not going to eat bread, I'm not going to bathe," whatever it is. He could say, "I can't accept a woman who is a nadronis," a woman who is constantly making vows and tampering with normal circumstances in her life. In such a case, lo yachzir, he can never take her back once the get is given. And the reason is for the same kilkul. We're concerned that he may come along one day and say, "You know, had I realized that even though she makes a neder every Monday and Thursday, doesn't matter, because I could always go to a chacham. I didn't realize it. I always could have gone to a chacham, and the chacham would have been matir haneder, and then her nedarim would be null and void, and I could then live with her. Had I known that, I never would have divorced her. In the meantime, she went and married husband number two. And this will now cause the husband to say, "Oi, she's not divorced. She has no right to marry husband number two." And the rumors will go out that the husband number two is marriage to her is illegitimate. Adulterous, in fact, and the children are illegitimate. So therefore, we tell him, "Mister, if the reason that you're divorcing your wife is because of the nedarim that you cannot tolerate, be aware, you can never ever take her back. This is it. She's free to marry who she wants. She marries someone else, kosher v'yosher, and the children of the second marriage are legitimate, and no aspersions can be cast upon their legitimacy." So that's the Tanakhama. Now, things get more complicated. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says as follows. When it comes to this business of Nedorim, when it comes to Shem Ra, Lo Yachzir, and that's the end of it. When it comes to Nedorim, however, it's not so simple. Kol Neder Sheyodu Bo Rabim Lo Yachzir. If the Neder is a severe Neder, it is a neder which everyone is aware of. The public is aware this woman makes vows not to eat this, not to do that, etc. Then we say, lo yachzir. The reason is not because we're concerned about kilkula, not because we're concerned that she may remarry and the husband will say that I never knew I could be mater hanedorim, etc. No. But rather, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why we say that if a woman is divorced, mishum neder lo yachsir, is as a knas. A knas. The knas is, we do not want women to be perutzos. We do not want women to be loose in the sense of promiscuity. And we do not want women, or men for that matter, to be loose when it comes to vows. So therefore, if she made a neder, sheyadu bo rabim, a neder of which the public is aware, then such a strong neder, because a neder shehuda bo rabim has no hatora, then we impose the knatz, and if that's the reason he divorced her, lo yachazireno, he can never ever take her back. Because there is a certain amount of pritzus in making a neder that everybody knows about. Neder shehuda bo rabim. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, "V'shelo yadu bo rabim." If she made a neder beinol veinatzma in private, she said, "I'm making a neder. From now on, I'm fasting Mondays and Thursdays. Nope, no one else knows about it." Then yachazir. Then, if that's the reason he divorced her, because she makes those nedarim in private, he can take her back after the get was given. Because such a neder is open to hafora. He, under certain stances, the husband could have nullified that vow, or he could take her to a chacham, to a beis din, and they could nullify the vow. So therefore, there's no kenas imposed upon him or upon her, and he can take her back after the get. So it depends upon the nature of the neder, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, another opinion now, kol neder shetzorich chakiras chacham lo yachzir. Rabbi Meir holds that the reason is indeed, as the Tanakhama said, the reason why lo yachzir, why he can never take her back, is because we're afraid of kilkula. We're afraid that he might come along and say, I never knew that the neder could be null, become null through a chacham. Had I known that, I wouldn't have divorced her. This then casts aspersions on the first get, on the get, and this casts therefore aspersions on the second marriage. That's the reason, says Rabbi Meir, agreeing in that respect to the Tanakhama. But he says, a neder which the husband himself cannot nullify, the husband cannot nullify through a hafora, but rather it's a type of neder. And we learned which type of nedarim can be nullified by the husband and which we cry or abezdin, hataras chocham, back when we were studying Maseches Nedarim. But if this is a type of neder that the husband cannot nullify, but rather which requires going to the rabbi, to the chocham, or the bezdin for hatora, then the husband can conceivably, if the get is given and can be and he can remarry her, the husband might come along and say, "Oi, I thought that there's no hope. Once she made this neder, there's no way out, and she has to keep it. If I would have known that a chacham, I just have to go to the local Orthodox rabbi, and he could be mater neder, I never would have divorced her," setting up the whole problem of aspersions being cast upon the second, on the remarriage. So therefore, in such a neder, shetzorich chakiras chacham, we say lo yachzir. We tell him, mister, this divorce is final, you can never remarry her. That way we avert any aspersions being cast on her remarriage. However, v'she'eino tzorich chakiras chacham, any neder which the husband himself could just say, you made that neder this morning 9 a.m., here it is now 10 a.m., mufar, I'm nullifying the neder. Yachzir, then if that's the basis upon which he divorced her because of those nedarim which he could have been made fair, then he can take her back. Because here we're not concerned that one day he's going to wake up and say, had I known that I could be Mayfair myself, I would have done so. Because husbands know that. Husbands know that they have the koach to be Mayfair a neder. And they didn't have to divorce her. I could have just said, mufaloch, save me a lot of expense, save me alimony, etc. If he nevertheless divorces her, even knowing that he could have avoided a neder that she imposed upon herself by his own hafora, then the Gerushin are Gerushin, total Gerushin. He knows that they're total Gerushin, and we don't have to be concerned of one day he'll wake up and say, had I known. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Now we have yet a fourth opinion with the Tanakama, Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir, now Omer Rav Elazar. Lo osru zeh elo mipnei zeh. They only prohibited this type of neder because of that type of neder. Now, what's happening here? Rabbi Elazar argues with Rabbi Meir, and he says that if she made the type of a vow which requires a chakirat chacham, which requires going to the local rabbi to be nullified, then there's no chashash that he'll wake up one day and say, oh, had I known. Because he can't say, had I known that a chacham could be mater, I wouldn't have divorced her. Because even had he known, he would have divorced. Even had he known that, he still would have divorced her. Because men know that a neder that one's wife made can be taken to a chacham for a heter. But men do not want to go and schlep their wives to the local rabbi or the local beis din and embarrass her. So therefore, he would rather, this is a suggested shot by the Me'iri, he would rather divorce her than schlep her and embarrass her in front of beis din. So therefore, he can never say, oh, had I known I could have brought up to the chacham, I would have done so. Because it's not true, mister, you wouldn't have done so. But the chacham made a gzeira, a neder which requires chakirat chacham should also be lo yachzir, meaning a get which is given because the husband knew that the neder she was making would require hatoras chacham is also lo yachzir, not because in love itself, but rather because of a neder she'eino tzorich chakirat chacham. A neder which does not require going to the local rabbi or the local beis din, but rather which the husband himself could have said, mufaloch, 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 and nullify it. There is a chash that one day he will wake up and say, oh, if I would have known how easy it was to nullify her neder, I wouldn't have to schlep her and embarrass her and me in front of the rabbi or in front of the beis din. I could have just said myself, mufaloch, then I wouldn't have divorced her. So therefore, it's os uahachzira. We tell him, mister, if you are divorcing your wife, mishum neder, I want you to know you could never take her back. Don't think you're going to come along and say, had I known this and that, I would have taken her back. This is the meaning when Rabbi Elazar says, lo osru zeh elab nibnei zeh. They only forbade hachzora, remarrying his wife, if he divorced her because of a neder that she made, which requires hatoras chacham. They only said lo yachzir in that case because of the case of when a man would divorce his wife because of a neder which was not required, did not require chakiras or hatoras chacham. Because there we have the chash of kilkul. So in neither case, bottom line, can he ever remarry her. Omar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Here, the Gemara says there is a missing passage, missing phrase in the Mishnah. Chesure Mechzera. And the phrase should read at this point as follows. Bamed vorim amurim shelo yachzir. When do we say that if a husband divorces his wife because of vows she has made, that he can never remarry her? Only kishenodra hi. If she, the wife, made the vow. Avol nodar hu. If a husband makes a vow, the consequence of which, because of his own vow, he must divorce her, and he divorced her because of his own vow, then yachzir. Then he can remarry her after the get, if she doesn't marry anyone else in the interim, and if he's not a kohen. Then we're not concerned that he's going to say, oh, had I known this, I would never have divorced her. Maase, and now on this statement, the distinction between a neder which she makes versus a neder where it's lo yachzir versus a neder which he makes where we say yachzir, he may remarry her. On this, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'ase b'tzaydon, there was a story that happened in the town of Sidon. B'yechot she'om aliyishto, a man said to his wife, Konom im eini megor sheikh. He says, for example, I shall never ever be able to eat fruits and vegetables ever again if I don't divorce you. Right? So this forces him to divorce his wife. If he doesn't divorce her, he won't be able to eat fruits and vegetables. V'gersha, so based on that neder, he divorced her. And now he says, you know, I'd really like to remarry her. V'hitiru lo chachomim sheyachzirenu. In such a case, the chachomim ruled that he can remarry her. Because, again, the principle of hamotzi es ishto mishum neder lo yachzir is only mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Only because we're concerned that after he gives her the get, he's going to say, oh, had I realized that we could remove her nedarim, I never would have divorced her, and therefore calling it to question her remarriage, that's only in the case where she made the vow. But if he himself made the vow, there's no inyan of tikkun ha'olam, and therefore we permit him to remarry her after the divorce. So we have finished lesson number 14.